Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. The title of tonight's lesson is Those Who Wait. Those Who Wait. Isaiah writes, "But they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Have you ever been discouraged? Answer that, of course you have. Preachers can get discouraged. There's an old black spiritual that says that sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. Elders can get discouraged. Back, Peter was an elder in the Lord's church. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. It said, "The elders which are among you I exhort, whom also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partake of the glory that should be revealed." Peter said he was an elder. He was a witness. He was there when Jesus was crucified. He was alive when Jesus was crucified. But he was a partaker of the glory that can be revealed. He says at the end of time, he will be a partaker. That the glory that shall be revealed when Jesus comes again. Talk about discouragement. Mothers and fathers can get discouraged because of the actions of their children. Because of what their children do is not right. Professionals, people work for professionals, may get what they call burnout. And they can become discouraged and become unhappy with what they do in their life, as far as their livelihood is concerned. Even young people can get discouraged and weary and faint and go off onto the broad road because of maybe peer pressure, maybe because of things at home. Isaiah 40 and 30. Isaiah said, "Even as the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." That was a problem in Isaiah's day. He said, even the young people in Isaiah's day were fainting, and they're becoming weary, and then utterly they will fall. He said, young men will fall by the wayside. God knew that people can get discouraged. And in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, admonition to fathers. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. That means unnecessary anger. He's not talking about corrective discipline there. He's talking about fathers, provoke not your children to anger of things which are not things of the immaterial he's talking about. And therefore God knew people would get discouraged. So that's the reason he had Paul pen Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. When Paul penned that great verse, and he said, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Paul recognized the fact that we get weary. He said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, in doing well for the Lord," he said. He said, "That's going to become the due season." He said, "We shall reap. If we faint not, if we don't fall away." Let's not fall away, folks. Let's not just get discouraged and fall away. God knew His people could get discouraged, so He had the Hebrew writer write Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12 when He would say, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." He says, need some assistance. Need some assistance from God to keep us up, standing up spiritually. So we can find encouragement in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Because we need to learn to wait on the Lord. It's hard to wait. It's hard because it's hard to wait in today's society. It's hard to be patient. But we need to learn to wait spiritually. Because of the hope we have in God and the trust we have in the Lord. And we know if we wait, then God and the Lord, Jesus Christ, will help us and will reward us according to our patience. In this lesson, we will emphasize, number one, the implication of those who wait. Number two, we do an investigation of those who wait. And number three, we're going to make an application to our lives of those who wait upon the Lord. Number one, the implication. Let's look at the reality of God in context with adultery. Now, if you look at Isaiah chapter 40, same chapter, let's go down to verse 18 through verse 20. And we're going to see the reality of God in context with the adultery. He says, "Whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and a goldsmith spread it over gold, and cast its silver chains. He that is impoverished, that hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved." Isaiah is saying, these people didn't wait upon the Lord. They didn't trust God enough. They made their own graven images. And they had cunning workmen to prepare these graven images so they could worship him, but these images didn't have any, couldn't help them spiritually like God could. Because, you know, the reality of, when we think about God and we think about the reality of God, because the reality of God in the Scriptures knows us. He knows us. He knows everything about us. In fact, look at Psalm 139, the first four verses. David recognized that God knew him, who he was. He was exposed before God. We're all exposed before God. David writes these words, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." He says, "Thou knowest everything about me. Thou knowest my sitting down and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." He said, "You know when I sit down. You know when I get up. You know when I'm, you know what I think. Thou compass my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways." He says, "You know everything that I think about. You know everything that I do. You know every secret thing about me. You know every public thing about me. For there's not a word in my thoughts," said David, "but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." He says, you know everything about me. And because God knows each one of us, and we cannot fool God. We may fool people around us, our friends and people we work with, but we cannot fool God. Because God, the reality of God, folks, is God really cares for us. Because 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 would tell us, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And since God cares for you, we have the realization that God is real. That God is a God of love. He's a God of care. He's a God of compassion. But he's also a God of vengeance and a God to mete out a punishment when people don't do what he says. But he does care for us. And we see the providence of God in our lives every day. We see the providence because we see how he works in our lives. We see how he uses us to do his will. Back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the passage that we are all familiar with. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose." He says, and we know, the word know means we're assured of, that God knows, we know all things work together for good for the Christians who love God, to the Christians who are called according to his purpose. Each one of us tonight have been called by the gospel. We've been baptized for the remission of our sins. We was called in fellowship with other Christians, with fellowship with God and Christ, who's the head of the church. And now God is just simply saying He's called us according to His purpose. He's given us a job. He's given us a purpose in life. Now we see the providence of God working in our lives. And we see this eternal God. This eternal God is in contrast to the temporal nature of our fleshly bodies. Because our fleshly bodies are not going to be here but a while. And we will die. And our bodies will go back to the dust from whence it came. But our soul will keep up, will go on. But the eternal God, and we know He's always going to be, and He's with us. And He'll always be with us. Because in Isaiah chapter 40, look at verses 6 through 8, we see Isaiah says, "The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the gardens, therefore, as a flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Sure, the people is grass, the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever." He says the word of God to Isaiah shall stand forever. And it's not going to be just here for a little time and then it'll be gone. We're here for a little time, but the word of God will continue to remain. People have tried to destroy the Bible. Throw it in the fire, try to throw it in the trash. Try to disrespect the Bible being God's word. But tonight it continues to be God's word. It continues to be the word of the eternal God, that we can read it and we can understand it, and then we can practice it in our lives, and we can apply it to our lives and be better people, and have patience and be people who wait upon the Lord. Now, the second area I want to cover is the investigation of those who wait. You know, Isaiah, the 40th chapter, is quoted in the New Testament. For instance, Matthew quoted Isaiah 40 and 3 in Matthew 3, 1 through 3. Look at Matthew 3, 1 through 3. It said, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." The Apostle Peter quoted Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. The Apostle would write these words, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another. Love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is the grass, and all the glory of man is the flower grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is a word which is by the gospel is preached unto you." And then Paul quoted Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 13 and Romans chapter 11 and verse 34. When he said, "Who have known the mind of the Lord? Or who had been his counselor?" And we see that Old Testament scripture was quoted in New Testament times to see that those who wait upon the Lord, we see that those who are called according to the purpose of God. You know, there are three potential blessings the Christian may experience by reading the Old Testament Scripture. You know, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, the writer Paul said, this is why the Old Testament was written. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might have the knowledge of what went on in the Old Testament, that we could appreciate the New Testament. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." We have patience of the Scriptures. We have comfort of the Scriptures. And that in turn, folks, gives us hope. Gives us the expectation of heaven. That's what we're looking for. Then there, the three potential blessings that you and I can experience by reading the Old Testament Scripture is, number one, patience or steadfastness. Patience or steadfastness. Number two, we can receive the potential blessing of comfort. And number three, we can receive the potential blessing of hope, or the expectation of heaven. And this is our investigation of Isaiah chapter 40. And we see how that in chapter 40 was quoted the three different authors, Matthew, Peter, and Paul, quoted these three scriptures from the Old Testament to emphasize God and to emphasize the scripture in the Old Testament. But now in the third place, let's look at the application of those who wait. This is for you and this is for me tonight. We wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The Lord has His own time. The Lord knows, God knows when He's going to send back Jesus to judge the world in righteousness. Therefore, since we wait on the Lord, we have to have patience every day. Remember Jerry Whitworth, you stand up here and said, patience, hardest thing to do. Hardest thing to do. And we want everything right now. We're in the age of instant. This and instant that. We live in a day of rush. We live in a day of speed. We have fast food service, businesses that we can, microwave, ovens, miracle drugs, everything that we want right now. We don't want to wait for anything. We don't want to wait even for the Lord. But we have to, must develop the patience to wait for the Lord. We must wait for the seed of the kingdom to produce in our lives. Remember Luke chapter 8, verse 15? Jesus talked about the parables of the soils. Verse 15 of that chapter, but He said, they on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they hear the word. What do they do with it? They keep it. They keep it in their minds. As David said, that thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. They keep it in their minds and they bring forth fruit with patience. And that's the prescription that we should use. We hear the word of God. We're hearing the word of God right now. Both myself and you in the assembly are listening to the word of God as I'm talking. And we take this word of God and we keep it. And we use it. And it brings forth fruit. And we use it and share it with others. And we do this with patience. We wait for the eternal reward that's going to be ours someday. You know, we just sang about, my latest sun is sinking fast. My race is nearly run. My strongest trials now are past. My triumphs have just begun. That's the triumph we're looking for. We're running in the Christian race tonight, folks. And we're looking for this triumph. We're looking that the angels, man, will come and get us. And that we can live every day. That we can live eternally with God, with Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. And we're running this race, but we must, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. The writer would say, wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Here's a great cloud of witnesses in chapter 11. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let's lay aside everything that gets in our way of serving God. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us. We have to run with patience. We have to run with discipline. We must be disciplined in our lives that we can wait upon the Lord. We wait to experience the blessings and endure temptation. God will bless us. He will favor us. James chapter 1, verse 12. James said, blessed or happy or satisfied is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he received the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. He says, if you can get through temptation, James says, then you shall receive the crown of life. You shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised you. The Lord has promised each and every one of us here tonight a crown of life. Because why? We love Him. And He loved us. And Paul would say, not only to those that crown of life to himself, but to all those that love his appearing. And do you love the appearing of Jesus? Do you love his appearing tonight? Are you willing to run with patience the race that's set before you? Because you know that Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. You know that you will endure by enduring temptation. You will win out at the end. Because we have to wait to experience the end of the Lord. James chapter 5, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Endure what? Temptation. The trials of this life. Everything the devil sends to us, we have endured. He said, you've seen how, you've heard of the patience of Job and seen the end of the Lord. And the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He said, you've seen in the case of Job, the patience of Job. But he said, you see how he came out. The Bible says at the end of that book that he had twice as much as he had at the beginning of the book, materially speaking. But he said he also saw the end of the Lord. We will see the Lord and we will be prepared for his coming if we wait to experience that. Those people who wait upon the Lord will not be disappointed. A lot of times in this life, we wait for something and we wait for it and it finally comes and it's not what we expected, was it? This is going to be something we expect. This is going to be something that's great. Waiting upon the Lord will produce eternal life. But those who wait on the Lord, as our text said, will soar like eagles. And we will know it's been worth it all. There's a song in our song book that offered I'm hindered all my way. But I know that at the end of time, that we will know they've been worth it all. It will have been worth it all how we lived. How we didn't do those things which the world does. How we didn't, we turned our backs upon sexual immorality. Upon lying and cheating and not being true to one's maiden marriage. And any number of things that the world does and they don't think anything about it. One day, we'll all have to face Jesus Christ at judgment. And how are you waiting on the Lord tonight? Is your wait upon the Lord with patience? Are you waiting with patience for the Lord? Do you have patience? Do you have steadfastness? Do you have comfort? And do you have hope? Are you looking for that, expecting that great reward? Tonight, as I look over this audience, see everybody here is a Christian. What's your relationship to God? The song which we're about to sing, Why Keep Jesus Waiting? You wait upon the Lord. If you have sin in your life and you know you have sin that separates between you and God, don't take a chance on leaving this building unprepared. Prepare yourself tonight for judgment. Prepare yourself tonight that we can, that you know when you leave this building that you can soar like eagles and that you will be prepared to wait upon the Lord and that you will enter into that home which He's promised. John 14 says He's given every one of us a mansion, a prepared us a mansion, which is waiting for us. But it's up to you and it's up to me how we live our lives. Now you need to respond as we sing 624. We encourage you to do so now while together we stand and sing.